You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis with nine to shoot. Spins past his man and takes it all the way down the lane and thumps it through with a game-tying slam dunk.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Here comes the inbound pass from Middleton to Giannis. Giannis on the right wing, drives into the paint, feeds it to Connaughton. Connaughton is falling out of bounds, sends it off to Matthews, who just saved it from going out of bounds. Well, he was on the sideline, and the Bucks are going to turn it over. How about that? Out of the timeout, a turnover for the Bucks with 3.3 seconds to go. Oh, goodness.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, can we just get a healthy version of this team already? That's the takeaway from tonight. On paper, these were very winnable games. And maybe this one's on me. We joked on Friday night after the Bucks had one of the more, if not the most impressive win of the season, shorthanded once again, going into Brooklyn and beating the Nets. We joked, hey, you win this game, does it even matter what you do these two games against the Hornets? Yes and no. You don't want to drop these games in the fashion that they did, and especially now when we've continued to point to the schedule for the Bucks and how, by the numbers, it has been the easiest schedule in the league so far. It hasn't hit its peak of most difficulty yet on that schedule. That doesn't really occur until March. But in the meantime, you had quite a few of these games, regardless of who's on the floor for you. You got to take one of these two against the Hornets. And tonight felt like it was going to be that game when you saw Dante DiVincenzo returning, Pat Connaughton returning. But games like this, to drop both of those in the two-game set against the Hornets, yes, you were without Drew Holiday. You didn't have George Hill either. And there's a lot more discussion to go on over what were the issues the Bucks had tonight, because it was pretty evident and it was pretty clear early on how much they missed Drew Holiday. In this game, in Saturday's game, even against the Brooklyn Nets on Friday, you'd certainly missed him. What aided you is that's not a very good Brooklyn defense, and at times it looked like they just gave up. But you still had Giannis and Chris Middleton on the floor. When you look at some of these other games, this isn't last year, and we can continue to point to, well, the Bucks had the same record. They were 26-13, 39 games in, just as they were last year. Last year, they had some head-scratching losses where you think back to the Kevin Porter Jr. 50-piece that he had in that big Rockets win. This Hornets team, on back-to-back nights, the Hornets did this, playing at a fast tempo, hitting a lot of threes. The New Orleans Pelicans on the next night did the same. You had a handful of these head-scratchers last year, but you've already had too many on the schedule so far this season. Between these two, you need to take one of them. The loss you had to the Detroit Pistons, the back-to-back losses against the Pistons and Raptors, back-to-back losses in these two, it's the third time since mid-December that the Bucks have had a two-game skid. Think back to the first few years here under Coach Mike Budenholzer, and I know you didn't have Bud tonight either, and I think there's a few things you noticed with that absence, but this team seldom lost back-to-back games and seldom lost more than once to the same opponent. Now, you're not expecting perfection from this team, but there's been too many of these stubbing the toe early in the season. You fall to 6-8, back-to-back losses to the Celtics and the Hawks, and it's pretty clear the last couple of years the Celtics and Hornets are just going to give you trouble every time you play them. Houston Rockets, too, that game was closer than you would have wanted. But I just want to see this team get healthy just so we can put some semblance of consistency on the floor, because all season long, it felt like you might have had it last year, but this year, more than ever, it has been not even two steps forward, one step back. It's been two steps forward, two steps back. Two steps forward, one step back. You're barely getting ahead. You're barely gaining any ground because of this inconsistency, the injuries. It's not just the Bucks that are dealing with this. Darvin Ham has been the first to point that out in each of these past three games. but it has really, really prevented you from seeing what this team fully has. And there's a lot in flux now compared to last year. You still got to figure out what's going on with Brook Lopez. What are some of the lineups you're going to play? You got a better grasp on that given some of the Bucks' versatility that they had and that they had to use last year, especially when Giannis went down in the playoffs. But you haven't really had any of these sustained minutes, especially with those changes on the perimeter and wanting to get some of these looks of how do you play Pat Connaughton with Grayson Allen and Dante DiVincenzo, or Dante and Drew and Chris together, or Dante and Grayson and Drew together. We haven't really gotten any looks at that, because this injury and these injury reports just seemingly never end for the Bucks. And tonight, good news, you get two of those bodies back. Bad news, you still don't have a point guard, and that really stood out in the 48 minutes against the Hornets. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line if you want to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. We got our play of the game. We got our stat of the game to get to here momentarily, but also there's some correlations I think we're starting to see here between these two teams in state, one that plays football and the Bucks that play tonight. We'll explain what we mean after this. It is Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. Yeah, Jordan Wara finished with 18 points. He's been a bright spot. You know about the offense. You know what Jordan Wara can give you on that end of the floor. It's just going to be the other things that's what's going to keep him on the floor for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Time to open it up and get to the stat of the day.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
So Saturday, when these same two teams faced, it was basically a three-man band for the Bucks, and 89 of the 106 points came from Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Bobby Portis. They went 29 of 54. Pretty good, right? 54% that they shot. 80% of the points, basically. A little more than 80% of the offense came from those three players. So tonight, Bobby Portis struggled. And Bobby Portis' stretch of scoring in double figures comes to an end. Giannis' 30-point streak comes to an end as well. But it was three guys, again, that provided the offense for the Bucks. Chris Middleton with his 27, Giannis with 26, and Jordan Wara with those 18 points. So they contributed more than 70% of their team's offense tonight. 71 of the 99 that they scored. And those were really the only three guys doing anything. Two straight games where all of your offense is coming from a trio of players. Two of them remain consistent. One, it's been interchangeable. You're usually not going to win unless there's a 50-point game somewhere in there, and that was not the case. Nearly on Saturday, but certainly not tonight. So stat of the game tonight, two straight games where 70-plus percent of your offense is coming from three players, and the bench has been nowhere to be found for the Bucks. Now, look, that's definitely nothing new from what we've seen for the last couple of weeks. With the injuries and with the issues they've had, with health and safety protocols and everything else, you've got to move guys up a line. So you know your offense for that second unit is going to take a hit. But this two straight games were 5 points on Saturday, 10 points tonight. The real question we have to ask, and we're going to monitor for the next 40 or so minutes, who is going to score more points tonight? The Bucks' second unit? Or Alabama against Georgia? The fact that we have to ask that question.
Nicely done.
I mean, Georgia, one of the best defenses we've seen in years. Alabama's up to 9. So it is a nail-biter to see who is going to finish with more points. Alabama or the Bucks' second unit. But 15 points combined over the weekend in Charlotte in these two matchups with the Hornets. You're not going to win many games when your bench only produces an average of 7.5 points a game. The difficulty with bench scoring, you can't just look at it and say, well, the Bucks are only averaging 18 points from their bench or whatever it is. It's not great. The Bucks have never been one of the more high-scoring benches. When you have Giannis and Chris Middleton and a pair of all-stars, your bench isn't going to score a lot. You're bringing those guys in to preserve the lead.
I was just about to say, like, those bench players become starters after every once in a while. Because please repeat your stat in your head, your pregame. How many different lineups has the Bucks used this season?
Well, I was going to save it, but yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
And stomp all over your show.
We saw even more tonight with some of the guys that made their return. Even more lineup groupings tonight. But over the weekend in Brooklyn, 20 points from the second unit. I mean, not great, but all things considered, when he had no point guards and when George Hill was out and not a part of that bench, Dante and Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, all of those guys are out. That leading the way for the second unit was Big Rod. To get 20 points from the bench, hey, something went well here. But 5 points and 10 points in consecutive games, a combined 35 points over three games. I mean, you got to give me at least 45. We got to consistently get 15 from that second unit if you're the Bucks. But we got to ask, who's going to finish the night with more points? Alabama or the Bucks' second unit?
Alabama was on offense 30 seconds ago. They are not on offense anymore.
Well, it is a close one. 10-9 right now, the Bucks, with the slimmest of leads in the race for who will finish the night with more offense. The second unit of the Bucks or the Alabama Crimson Tide in tonight's national championship game. 10-9, the Bucks in front right now. So, you brought up some of those groupings. There's a couple of things to point out here. We did a cherry-picked stat of the game on Saturday, which was, it still, is this something or not? Giannis has scored 40 or more 5 times this season. The Bucks are 3-2 in those games. He scored between 30 and 39 10 times. They're 9-1 in those 10 games. So it seems like, as long as he's under 39 points, 39 to so points, that's the sweet spot for the Bucks. But free throws, too. By the numbers, when he's gotten to the free throw line 20 times, 20-plus free throws and 20-plus field goal attempts, those have been the problem areas for the Bucks. It's happened 7 times. And the Bucks are 3-4 in those games. They've lost the last 2 times it's happened. Saturday against the Hornets, last year, on the road against the Phoenix Suns, a place they never win. It's almost like you want Giannis to be the facilitator and you want Giannis to get to the free throw line quite a bit, sure, but like 15 to 18 field goal attempts and let's get Chris and other guys going. Because we've seen, and especially tonight, the problem came on a number of fronts. There is no point guard to help get you set. And we had I forget who it was now, Greg, shame on me, but our usual caller, who was the first to point out last year, Bucks should start DJ Augustine. And
shouts to Dick in Port Washington.
Dick in Port Washington. Dick in Port Washington pointed it out last year. The Bucks need to start DJ Augustine. And I laughed at him. I said, Dick, I mean, have you seen DJ Augustine? Have you seen the Bucks? It's not a good fit. But they did start him for 4 of the final 5 games. Drew was in health and safety protocols. The 5th, I believe, is when he was traded. He moved into the starting lineup. And from that point forward, the offense flowed a lot better without Drew Holiday. And Bud talked about this after, I believe, the 2nd or 3rd game in that instance with DJ Augustine in the starting lineup, that we just needed the word he kept using was organization. We needed that organization. We needed the guy to get us into our sets and to just kind of be that calming influence and run the offense. And look at tonight. Look at Saturday night. I mean, you beat Brooklyn on Friday, but that's a Brooklyn team that they have not been very good this year. Especially defensively. They started off really good on defense. Everybody was saying, holy cow, how is this happening? How is this Brooklyn team playing so well in the top 10 on defense? And now you've seen the regression to the mean. But you needed that organization. And look at the turnover totals in these two games. Look at the final sequence. The final play screamed, we needed Drew Holiday. We needed somebody else that would run the offense. You can put the ball in the hands of Giannis. And I've had this conversation time and time again. Ben Bruss and I were just talking about it earlier today. Giannis can play point guard. Giannis is not a point guard. Like, Giannis can handle the ball. It does not make him a point guard. And it's the same as the way the Bucks had constructed their roster the last few years, where you look at these guys and you say, yeah, he can shoot. Up until the last couple of years, last year and a half, Pat Connaughton was in that camp. Yeah, he can shoot. I would not call him a shooter. He's transformed himself into a shooter. Kyle Korver at that point in his career can shoot. He was not a shooter anymore. All these other guys that the Bucks brought in, where you think about the Mirza Teletoviches and Nico Mirotic, Kyle Korver experiment, DJ Augustine, who we just referenced. I mean, these were all guys like, yeah, at one point in their career they could shoot, but they're not that anymore. And that's where you look at the regular season splits versus playoff splits. Can you hit an open shot in the regular season? Sure. A lot of guys can. You might be able to, Greg. Can you do it in the playoffs? You won't get that open shot in the playoffs.
Right.
And that was the issue we saw with the Bucks offense. It's the same with Giannis and Chris. Chris can handle the ball, sure. And I know a large majority of the audience, you don't want to acknowledge that, and you want to point out all the turnovers that Chris has had. Chris can handle the ball. Giannis can handle the ball. They're not point guards. They need guys getting them set up and getting them the ball. It just puts so much more stress and strain on both of them. It's incredibly difficult to get your offense going and functional and keep it consistent. And that's what you've noticed in these two games. So Drew Holiday cannot come back soon enough. George Hill cannot come back soon enough. Dante DiVincenzo, you would put in that Giannis and Chris category as well. He can handle the ball. He's not a point guard. He's a combo guard. With Drew, it's, I think, encouraging. We know he's out of protocols. It's just a sore ankle. I was frankly surprised Pat Connaughton made the trip out to Charlotte today, a day trip to Charlotte. I mean, when we talk about day trips, it's usually you're going to the Dells, you're going to La Crosse, you're going to Madison, but Pat Connaughton's here going to Charlotte. But Drew Holiday cannot come back soon enough. And that really has been the underlying story of the season. Giannis's brilliance and dominance and another 40-point performance, playing with all these groups of personnel that he frankly likely will not see extended minutes with again, we hope. But you're just missing that guy to keep the offense running, and that has been Drew Holiday. Chris has been terrific the last couple of games, but you've missed that consistency of Drew Holiday. When we return, you mentioned that number, Greg. Talked about the frustration of this injuries and the injury report being the theme to the season for the Bucks so far. Just how bad has it been? With a little context behind it. We'll tell you what we mean after this. It's Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
.com. American Family Insurance.
They were tied at 95 there. They were tied at 99 moments later. And then LaMelo Ball, a tough floater to push the Hornets in front. And a pair of free throws to seal it at the end. The Hornets score the final 4 points, and the Bucks lose two straight to the Charlotte Hornets. A theme between these two teams. The Hornets just have their number. They play up tempo. They hit a lot of threes. They got a lot of length. And they have had a lot of success against the Bucks the last 2 years. But a disappointing loss tonight for the Bucks. Who's going to score more points tonight? The Alabama Crimson Tide or the Bucks bench? At last check, Greg, Alabama still had 9 points on the board.
Currently still at nine.
Couple of minutes left in the third quarter.
The Bucks bench had how many points?
The Bucks bench had 10 points. So the Bucks bench in the last two games has scored as many points as both football teams currently playing in the national championship combined have tonight. 15-15. It gets worse for that second unit. They have scored 15 points in the last two games on 38 field goal attempts. Not good. Not good.
Back to you.
15 points on 38 field goal attempts. You were 2 of 15 on Saturday, 3 of 23 tonight. Three-point attempts have been brutal from that group, and the Bucks bench has just never found consistency all season long because of the injury issues and because of guys constantly shuttling back and forth between the starting lineup and the bench. You just want an extended look at having this team relatively healthy. The ultimate tease we had was right after Christmas when it was, I believe, the two-game set against the Orlando Magic, and you looked at the injury report and said, holy cow, Brook Lopez is the only guy on the injury report for the Bucks. Unbelievable. And that lasted for a couple of days. The AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. It is still 9 points scored for Alabama. The Bucks remain at 10 for their second unit, so we'll continue to monitor that through the show. What we mentioned about injuries and continuing to pile up and different looks that the Bucks have had, the amount of different starting lineups that they've had. This is not starting lineups. This is just overall five-man groups. In other words, the five guys on the floor at any given time. The Bucks, and I believe we saw one new addition tonight, but entering play tonight, the Bucks had used 526 different lineups.
Like, say that again. Like, just can we soak in how, I don't want to say comedic, because that's not the right word, but that is insane.
526. I mean, look, you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, and this is why when you've seen a few people point out, man, the Bucks have played the easiest schedule in the league, and they're not leading the conference, and the Bucks have some of these frustrating losses where they just can't put teams away. Why are you losing to the Pistons? And that's the one I'll grant. Why did you lose to the Detroit Pistons? Absolutely. But the other things to look at, who are we comparing them to here? The Chicago Bulls at 26-11? The Bulls have played 37 games. Bulls had a pretty lengthy offseason, too. They were not in the playoffs. The Bulls have played 286 different lineups. It feels like 20 compared to the Bucks 526. 286 different lineups for the first place Chicago Bulls. In other words, outside of one real spell with COVID, they've had DeMar DeRozan, they've had Zach LaVine. It's basically Patrick Williams and Kobe White are the two guys they've been missing. They've had their guys out there for most of the season, and they're 26-11. The Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving's been missing. Home and road. The Nets have played 334 different lineups this season. They're 25-13. They've consistently had James Harden and Kevin Durant on the floor. The Miami Heat, who have had some issues. This was the most surprising to me, that Miami has only played 309 different lineups this season. I mean, Jimmy Butler's been out of the lineup. Bam Adebayo's been out of the lineup. Tyler Hero. PJ Tucker has missed some time. They've dealt with injuries as well. They're in front of the Bucks at 25-15, but they've played 309 different lineups. And then you got the 76ers, who are on their way to 23-16, which would put them just a game back of the Bucks. 295. The Bucks are at 526, I believe 527 after tonight, but nonetheless, 526. It is by far the most in the NBA. It is way, way by far the most in the Eastern Conference. The only two teams in the league that have played 400-plus different lineups, the Lakers are at 408, and the Houston Rockets are at 401. Even the Orlando Magic, with how long their injury report has been, the Magic have played fewer five-man groups than the Bucks have. Because for the Magic, it's been consistently the same five guys have been out all season. For the Bucks, it's you get one guy back, you lose two. It seems like that's been the trade-off all year long. All right, Bobby Portis is going to come back, but this guy's going out. All right. Jrue Holiday's coming back. Brook Lopez still hasn't returned. Dante DiVincenzo's coming back. Jrue Holiday still can't play. You get one guy, you lose two more, and vice versa. 526 different lineups. How do you build continuity and consistency when you've played 526? Last year, the Bucks played 485 different lineups in 72 games. 72 games. You were fewer than 500. 42 games this year, you're over 500 at 526. In Bud's first year, it was 627 different lineup groupings. In the 2019-20 season where they played 73 games, it was 661. But that was a team that was also very, very deep. Sterling Brown getting some playing time. DJ Wilson getting play. Ersan was on the team. Kyle Korver, that was a Kyle Korver team. You were a really deep team in 1920, so there were a lot of guys you would insert into the game, so it explains a little of it. But still, they are on pace to shatter those. And you look across the East and you say, these teams have dealt with one-off injuries. They haven't dealt with what the Bucks have dealt with. So, yeah, it's discouraging to say they've played the easiest schedule and it's about to get difficult, but you can understand why the Bucks are in the spot they're in when you see that 526 number next to the amount of different lineups that the Bucks have played this season. That schedule and how it starts to get more difficult. We'll take a look at that. Also, this Warriors team that brings a lot of buzz when they come into town on Thursday night, but they could be dealing with some issues as well. So we'll preview that matchup after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Free throw from Giannis, misses. Portis taps at it, couldn't get it, but Matthews gets it to go on the second effort. Oh, what a play. We are even at 99 apiece, just like you drew it up.
I think this part of the season calls for Dick from Port Washington. We need his Nostradamus effect. Last year, he said, hey, put DJ Augustine in the starting lineup. It appeared to give the Bucks a little bit of a spark and then eventually led to DJ bringing the Bucks PJ Tucker. So what's the next move for the Bucks? As they've now had to play two games without a point guard. Thursday is when the Bucks return home. So that's the good news, is you had another stretch of three games in 4 days, a back-to-back on there, another back-to-back set against the same opponent, and it seems like outside of that game against those two against the Magic to close out the calendar year, every other instance of this popping up on the calendar for the Bucks, it seems like they've been dealing with massive amount of injuries. These two games, you didn't have a point guard. You had the two games against the Magic, the 28th and 30th of December. But as we said, that was when, at one point, you looked at the injury report and saw, hey, it's just Brook Lopez that's out for the Bucks. You actually had two of those instances against the Orlando Magic. The other came just before Thanksgiving, I believe, back in November. But every time this has come up for the Bucks, it's been against certainly not teams in the upper tier of the conference, but it seems like there's always been something with the injury report when you get this. And that carried over once again tonight with no point guard on the roster for this game in a loss to the Charlotte Hornets. Now, as we take a look at the question we asked, who's going to finish scoring more points in this game on the night, I should say, Alabama or the Bucks' second unit? Bucks' second unit finished the game with 10. Alabama is still stuck on 9.
There was a touchdown just scored, not by Alabama.
So we've seen more scoring in the national championship game than we've seen from the Bucks bench in the last two games combined.
Not by much, though.
21-15 is still a pretty sizable margin when you look at the proficiency of that second unit. So, still a nail biter on Alabama versus the Bucks bench, who is going to score more points on the night. Now, with the Warriors coming to town on Thursday, you do get 2 days off. You do get two full rest days.
Thank goodness.
Well, and especially with Jrue Holiday. Out of COVID protocols, I would assume Coach Bud is going to be out of protocols in time for Thursday's game. Grayson Allen and George Hill, you would have to think, will be as well.
Yeah, that's just going to be huge, those two names, just to get it back.
It seems like it's just give Drew Holiday more off days. The ankle soreness, hopefully it's subsided by Thursday, and then you can be somewhat full strength when the Warriors come to town. But consider this, Greg. I know you have some other allegiances that may sway you a little bit on this question, but look at what the Bucks have coming up in terms of their home slate in the next, 10 days, basically. Three of their next four home games. You have the Golden State Warriors on Thursday, the Raptors on Saturday, but after that, the week afterwards, the Memphis Grizzlies on the 19th and the Chicago Bulls 2 days later. You can go to one of those games. You can go to Fiserv Forum. I'm giving you my tickets. You can be in the building to see the Bucks take on one of those three teams. Which is the opponent you're picking? The Warriors and the return of the Splash Brothers? Everybody is suddenly a Klay Thompson fan now. The Memphis Grizzlies and the story that they've been? What?
No, I keep going.
I mean, I am, but I feel like Klay and the Warriors in general have caught a lot of strays when they were really good, and now all of a sudden, hey, it's great to have Klay back. It is, but where was this 3 years ago?
There you go.
The Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the story that they've been this season behind Taylor Jenkins, the fourth best record in the conference in the West, I believe fourth best in basketball, period. And within shouting distance, they may be tied with the Utah Jazz, or at least a half game back of the Jazz following that Jazz loss tonight. So they've been an incredible story. Ja Morant, I know those are it's a tough name to bring up around Marquette fans, but Ja Morant has been incredible for the Memphis Grizzlies and the Chicago Bulls, the first matchup this season between the Bucks and the Bulls are actually good at the same time the Bucks are good. I am most intrigued by that matchup, Greg, because all the way back to, let me figure this out now. I have been covering the Bucks for about 15 years now. Not to date myself, but about 15 years. And the majority of that, obviously, was in the Bradley Center. It was always a Bulls home game when the Bucks would play the Bulls in the Bradley Center. There was very, very few occurrences where it was not. Now, the last couple of years, the Bulls have not been good. So Fiserv Forum has not become United Center North, and the Bucks have been really good, so that's also helped. We've even seen the United Center become a secondary home site for the Bucks in recent years. But now, both teams are good. Through the years, historically, Bulls fans have traveled very well here. I am very curious to see what that building, what that atmosphere is going to be like on the 21st when the Bucks and Bulls face off. And at this point, I have no reason to believe the Bulls will not still be atop the Eastern Conference when those two teams meet on January 21st, 1 week from this upcoming Friday. So those are the three games, three of the next four home games the Bucks have are the Warriors on Thursday, the Memphis Grizzlies the following Wednesday, and the Chicago Bulls 2 days later. Those are three of the best teams we've seen in the league this season. And certainly in the case of the Grizzlies and the Warriors, they've been incredible. The Bulls as well. The Bulls and the Warriors leading their respective conferences. Which of those three games are you picking to go to? I think I know the answer.
I am going to say, now it would be a toss-up too, just because, like you said, everyone's a Klay Thompson fan now. The excitement is sky high for the Warriors coming to town. Drew Holiday, fingers crossed, is back because you're going to need a point guard to combat their point guard. Don't know if you've heard of him, Mr. Stephen Curry. But on that point, they're in the Western Conference. Same with the Grizzlies. Bring a lot of highlight, bring a lot of speed. People still, as you mentioned, might be mad at Ja Morant, Murray State. But the Bulls matchup, it's been so highly anticipated. One, because they're in the division, which I understand doesn't really matter. they're in the conference, and it's taken this long to see this team that has had so much hype surrounded around them to match up with another premier team in the East, being the Milwaukee Bucks. That's the matchup I'm looking forward to, not just because of what could happen in the conference, and especially the top end of the conference, but what happens because the Bulls will be coming off of a game against the Nets tomorrow. So if you want to talk about like kind of lumping all the top three or four teams in the East in one week, so to speak, there's going to be a lot of excitement around these teams. And again, hopefully that the Bucks are healthier. You're giving me your tickets, pal. I am sitting courtside, much like you do at games, rubbing elbows with the Milwaukee greats. I'm sitting courtside at the Bulls game because, again, to bring it back to a more basketball standpoint, much like the Charlotte Hornets, the Bulls get out in transition and they run. That's something they wanted to do, but they have not done since 2010, 2011, when one Derrick Rose was leading that team. So I'm going to the Bulls game. It's going to be fast. It should be high scoring, hopefully in both regards, for not only entertainment value, but to keep the game close. And yeah, with everything that comes with it, that's going to be a really fun game.
I would guess.
So do I Venmo you or what? You're just going to give them to me? That's great.
They'll be at will call. I would guess, but you're going to have to use the name Dave Kane.
right.
I would, and good luck convincing the attendant at will call that you are Dave Kane. They may not believe you. I would guess the majority of the audience would pick the Bulls, despite how good the Warriors have been. And the Warriors have consistently been. I mean, they had their two lean years, but now they're back. And Klay Thompson is back. That changes things for this game. But I would guess, just given the intrigue of Chicago versus Milwaukee, the Bulls and Bucks both finally good, overlapping for the same time. I know they played in the opening round of the playoffs, Giannis's first experience at the playoffs, but the Bucks weren't good. They were a team that was on the rise.
Look out, Mike Dunleavy. Keep your head on a swivel.
They were a team that was improving, but they were not a good team at that point. Because the Bulls are good, and because it hasn't been the 10-game cute start, where the Bulls started the season the way they did, and everybody said, hey, look at what Chicago's doing. I was guilty of it. I was one of those that said, let's see where they're at a month from now. Like, yeah, it's great that the Bulls started, was it 6-0, 4-0? Pretty
4-0 for the first time since like
Jordan.
Yeah. The 90s.
4-0, and they got to 6-1. So yeah, it's great that the Bulls are doing this, but let's get back to me in a month. Like, let me see 15 games of sample size or 20 games. Well, at the end of October, Bulls were 5-1. At the end of November, Bulls were 14-8. And at the end of December, they're 23-10. They just kept getting better. Do I think they're a playoff juggernaut? No. But in terms of regular season success, I'm a believer. This team has sustained it for close to 40 games now that you have to take them seriously. And I think a majority of people, if you gave them the option, these that might be the best stretch in terms of, it's got to be, a week. Bucks home games. These are the three games you got. The Memphis Grizzlies, who are absolutely peaking right now. 9-game win streak currently. They play the Warriors tomorrow night, but the Grizzlies have currently won 9 in a row, which is the longest win streak in Memphis Grizzlies history. This team peaking, the Warriors just recently getting Klay Thompson back. This will be the third game, we think, if he plays, the third game Klay Thompson has played in this season, and then the big showdown with the Bulls for the first time this season. This is probably the best stretch of scheduling in terms of pure basketball entertainment and enjoyment on the schedule for the Bucks. Already put it out there, the majority of the vote so far has gone to the Golden State Warriors, which surprises me. It's more love for Klay Thompson than we assumed, but 60% of the vote has gone to the Golden State Warriors and 27% to the Bulls. Only 13% to the Grizzlies, probably because of Ja Morant, and it's 13 Wisconsin Badger fans that want to see Ja Morant come to Milwaukee. Bucks and the Warriors on Thursday night, the two much needed off days for this Bucks team to recuperate and hopefully just get some semblance of consistency here. Hopefully the return of Jrue Holiday. A couple people chiming in on social media. Losing to the Hornets twice. It seems like the main point that we've seen is the concern that Bucks fans have is the fact that these are games the team had really historically won. And I think you take one of these two games. You had to take one. I know we joked Friday night, hey, it's great. You beat the Brooklyn Nets banged up, but now it doesn't really matter what you do. Well, you take one of these, please.
But you assumed that they were going to win one while you said that.
But a tough loss for the Bucks as it's two straight in Charlotte to the Hornets. Now, two off days. The Golden State Warriors come to town on Thursday. The return of Klay Thompson happened on Sunday, and now game number three, we think, for Klay. We hope Jrue Holiday is back on the floor. We hope Coach Budenholzer is back on the sidelines as well. We know we'll be back following the game on these airwaves with Bucks Talk. My thanks to Greg and Chris for producing the show, for everybody else that listened and hung out for the last hour. We will talk to you once again Thursday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.